Good morning.
Wow.
That even surprised me. Good to be with you this morning. I don't know if I was supposed to know that Sylvia was having a baby, but I don't think I did know that, so I'm going to test my skills here. We'll see what happens. Congratulations, Charlie. And Sylvia. We're excited for you guys. That's the depth of my sign language so far. I need to learn more. A few things we need to go over before we get rolling this morning. First of all, our life groups begin this evening. And if you have not signed up for that because you're from Oregon and that's what you do, wait till the last minute, people. Sign up today. Now, I'm sure you can still show up if you didn't sign up, but what I worry about is 12 of you deciding not to sign up and all showing up at the same house who's not expecting you. And they'd love to have you there, but it'd be better if they're prepared for you. So if you would sign up for that today, that would be very helpful. And there also will be a group meeting here at the building, but we'd love to see you plug into homes and get to know each other a little better. I have had several people ask me and my wife where we're going to go. And there's a two-pronged answer to this. There's probably a multi-pronged answer to this, but one, we're kind of waiting for people to sign up. We're being Oregonians too, I guess. But we're waiting for people to sign up because the four of us tend to bring numbers somewhere. And so we want to wait and see where there's not as many. And that will probably be where we go. But second of all, I don't want anyone to sign up or not to sign up based on where we're at. So I'm waiting for you. So if you would like to allow me to sign up, you go sign up. It'll be very helpful. But we're really excited about getting this started tonight. We will be studying through, if you're wondering, starting off with our four action words that we've been talking about for the last 6 months or so, which, if I can remember off the top of my head, grow, work, and share together. Are they up there? Oh, I didn't even cheat. And I know, growing, working, sharing together. And we're going to go through each of those over the next 4 weeks, and then we will jump headfirst in the book of James after that. And we'll also be talking about the book of James on Sunday mornings, trying as best we can to keep the pace going between the two, so maybe we can unpack a little more on Sunday nights. So I hope you will consider being a part of that. I hope you will pray about that, it's a successful thing for us, and it's something that can help grow the church and grow our relationships. Secondly, this is so funny. Last time I did this, I have a PC and we have a Mac back there. And so last time I did it, it was too big and going off the screen. So I thought I'm going to make it a little smaller. And I was like teeny tiny. Children's ministry. We mentioned probably about a month ago now that we are going to start doing background checks on the adults that work with our kids, both in teaching classes and helping with Children's Bible Hour, VBS, all those kinds of things. And if you are a teacher or helper, you should have gotten an email by now showing you the link to where you do that, letting you know that we're trying to get all those done by October 15th. And if you have not responded to that link because you're waiting to the last minute to see who else does, I don't know. but please do that sooner than later so we can get all that stuff in order. If you are not an online person and you need a physical copy, we can give you one. And so just ask Denise or I about that and we'll make sure you get one. We're trying to get all those in order by October 15th, so if you want to continue teaching or helping, be sure to get that done by October 15th. Otherwise, we have to scramble and find somebody to fill your slot, and we really don't want to do that. We just want to care about the safety of our kids, and I know this is an extra hoop to jump through, but there have been several of us jump through so far, and it's all gone well, and we've survived, and so you will too. All right. I have, probably like a lot of you over the last few days, had a hard time getting events out of my mind that have been nearby us here. And so I wrestled quite a bit with what to do. This is not initially where I planned on going this Sunday morning in the whole scheme of things, but I felt like it might be short-sighted to not talk about what's going on in our culture. And so if you have somehow avoided the news for the last few days, 70 miles south of us in Roseburg at the Umpqua Community College, there was a shooting on the later part of this last week where several people were killed and several more injured. And it was one of those moments where this is no longer something that happened far away. And I know they're personal to us wherever they happen, but when they get closer, it's a little different. I can remember being in Searcy, Arkansas, when there was a shooting in Jonesboro, which was about the same distance from us as Roseburg is here. They're at an elementary school, of all places, and the last place in the world you would expect it to happen. And there at Westside Elementary in Jonesboro, they had the great plan of going in and pulling the fire alarm, and guys with deer rifles were up on a hillside waiting for people to come out with the fire alarm, and then just started shooting. They shot teachers, they shot students, and the kids who did it were 11, 12 years old. I think one of them might even been 10. And I remember watching the news and just thinking, what in the world? What happened? And a lot of us have probably been doing that over the last few days. I would imagine with a group of our size, we probably have folks that are connected in one way or another to this, with it being as close by as it is. And people will wonder why, and people will wonder how to respond. And I don't know that we have all the answers, but I thought we might just look a little bit into the heart of God this morning and maybe find some peace there. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We don't sing this song here, at least not that I can remember singing, but one of the first places I go in my mind when situations like this come along is music. I think a lot of us have songs that connect with us in one place or another, that help us through times, that help us to focus our thoughts. And there's a popular worship song right now that is called Do Not Fear that draws its words from Isaiah chapter 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. Do not fear. We have gotten several messages over the last few days, my wife has, because she teaches at a college in Oregon, and people in Arkansas don't remember which one. And so we've gotten several of those calls or Facebook messages that say, it's not your school, is it? Especially before names were being released. And you know, they were comforted to find out it wasn't us. But at the same time, I think a lot of us who work in schools or have kids in schools also realize it could have been. And because of that, we have fear. We worry. We want to be safe. We want to feel like our kids are safe. We want to feel like our families are safe. And yet we know we live in a world that is not all that safe. And God comes alongside us and says, don't be afraid. Now, that's not to say that things are not going to happen. That's not to say that life doesn't get difficult. It's not to say that there are just horrors in our world. But it is to say that God is greater than all of that. He is above all of that, and he has something in store for us where we don't have to worry about things like this. And so he begins here in Isaiah chapter 43 by saying, do not fear. But then he also says, you're mine. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely love that imagery. I don't know where you feel completely safe, and I think I've shared this with you before. I can remember we lived in a house there next to the church that we worked at in Arkansas. 1,100 square foot house. It was 100 years old. Everything in it creaked. Nothing was level. It was an interesting place to live. The air conditioner would come on and all the lights would dim. It was very dramatic. But we lived there in this house, and I remember being asleep one night with Stacy in our bed, a little queen-size bed, and the door began to open, which was straight down the foot of the bed. Now, with as unlevel as our house was, this was not an unusual thing just to happen. But as that door opened, I could see just the top of a little head, and I saw this little head walking towards the foot of the bed, and then I could tell tiptoes were on, and there's David, peering up over the bed. He's probably 2 at the time, maybe 3. And he peers up over the bed, and we're awake, and just said, David, what do you need, man? He's terribly embarrassed now. What do you need? And David points to the area between Stacy and I on the bed, and he says, right there. In a much cuter voice than that, by the way. But he says, right there, and we're like, yeah, come on, you know, and how do you say no to that? And he climbs up, and he lays down on the bed, on his back between us, puts his hands behind his head like this, and goes, I will never forget that moment. I will never forget what it felt like to be able to really not have answers to most everything in the world, But to be able to provide somebody with security for a few minutes and to make them feel safe. And God says to us here in Isaiah 43, do not fear, you are mine. God says to us, here is that warm, safe place that you can be, and I am providing that for you. And I think he would say it's here among ourselves, even though in our world that doesn't always feel as safe as we would like it to. But God knows that there is a bigger picture than that. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. I will be with you. There are times in life that we feel alone. You may be feeling it in a room of 100 and whatever people are here this morning. You may be feeling alone right now. And God would say to you, do not fear, you are mine, and I am with you. I will be with you regardless of the situation. I will be with you regardless of how alone you may feel. I will be with you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba for your stead. I am your Savior. I am here to save you. And we have seen in this news story, like we usually do in these kind of things, stories of heroism already coming out. And I'm sure there will be more that we've not heard yet. A lot of us have probably already seen the one about the guy who went toward the gunman instead of away to try to save people and found himself shot multiple times and survived and lived to tell the story. We've all been around times of bravery in people, probably nothing quite at that level. And God says to us, I am your Savior. I am the one who is here to save you from all of this mess. Because sometimes we look around and it just seems like too much. And God says, it's not too much for me. I am your Savior. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you and give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life, you are precious. I don't feel precious sometimes. Maybe you don't feel precious sometimes. And God says to us, you are not only mine, but you are precious to me. You are important enough that I'm going to send my son to die for you. You are precious, and I love you. And doesn't it all really come back to that? It's his love for us that allows for all of this. It's his love for us that carries us through weekends like the one that we've had here. It's his love for us that helps us understand that we're not alone. It's his love for us that allows us to not have fear. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I'm with you. I'm always here. Regardless of what's going on, I am with you. So don't be afraid. Now, what I really like is when Paul approaches a very similar idea in Philippians chapter 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Your gentleness. Okay, we will shift as a culture because this is what we do after things like this. And sometimes much more quickly than we would like to into the mode of debate. And suddenly we will stop thinking about victims and we will stop thinking about loss and fear and all of those things. And we will get into the politics of this stuff and where guns ought to be and who ought to have them and all that kind of stuff. And I will tell you in the coming weeks, let your gentleness be evident. You feel strongly, a lot of you, one way or the other on this. And how you respond to these kinds of situations says an awful lot about who you are and what your faith is in God. And believe me, I have friends really, really strongly on both sides of this thing. And I understand. I get it. But that is not the point here. The point is, how can God be glorified in this? The point is, there are people who are hurting and are suffering. There are a lot of folks looking for a meaning. There are a lot of people who are very afraid this morning. And what can we bring to that setting? And Paul would begin by saying, rejoice, first of all, because people have no idea why you would. And then let your gentleness be known. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God by prayer. You feel like you're overly anxious? You feel like you're too fearful? I think Paul's giving us the answer here. Prayer. Are we talking to God about these things? Are we doing it regularly? Do we understand that he's listening to us? Because he's just told us in Isaiah chapter 43 that he's here, he's with us, he's listening, and he's asked us to pray when we have need. And so Paul would say, by prayer, maybe you won't be anxious. By prayer, you can find the peace that you're looking for. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And there's not only this peace, but this peace transcends all understanding. And you might have some picture in your mind of what it is you would like when it comes to peace, and God would say, my peace is not just that. My peace is beyond what you are capable of understanding. God can bring us a level of peace, even in times like these, that is beyond what we can ask for. And if we do not have that peace, and an awful lot of us don't, it begins with that prayer. It's not a mistake that he puts prayer right there in the midst of everything else. It begins with that conversation with him to get us towards that peace that transcends all understanding. And then he would close this section by saying this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Where is our mind going forward? What is it that we're thinking about? And he would say, think about these kind of things. The good things, the noble things, the pure things, the true things, the right things. These are the things we are to think about now. These are the things that should guide our conversations going forward. These are the things that should color our thoughts and our words and our minds and our hearts. Good, pure, right things. And we will be surrounded in our world by a lot of things that are not that. And how do we engage with them during the coming weeks? How we do will say a lot about who we are and what we believe and what people should know about us. Now, this, by the way, does not happen often here if you're visiting. I didn't want to talk for a long time today because I feel like we've experienced a lot over the last few days. And I thought that God's word could offer us a few things, and then we could just maybe carry on with some time of prayer and something else. We're going to pray here in a minute, and then we're going to have an invitation. Ken's going to lead us in a song. After we close today, I know that some of us are in the habit of just getting out as quick as we can because we're on a race for lunch or something. I don't know, football. I would ask you not to do that today. And that's why I'm stopping soon, so I don't give you an excuse to do that today. There will be a table in the foyer, and on that table there's going to be two banner-sized cards that we are going to sign and put any messages you would like to put on for the Roseburg Church of Christ. We have a good connection with that church. They come to our events. They're active in our youth rally. We go to camp together. We know folks down there. We know there are people that are connected to there, and I tried to think over the weekend, who could we reach out to just to let them know we love them? And I thought about the college, but I know you got all that church and state stuff, and I don't want to get into all that. And I'm sure there will be some folks there at the Roseburg Church that are connected to the college that will gladly pass the message on for us. But I hope you will take just a minute and sign one of those cards, offer up a prayer of hope, of peace, maybe a scripture that means something to you, and then just spend some time over the next week in prayer about this, in prayer about how this may be used for a positive by God to open some doors for us. In prayer is about ways that we can reach out and bring peace and hope. In prayer about just ways that we can help to be a comfort to our community and to any who might be affected by this. Let's pray together. God, we are, strange as it may sound, thankful this morning that we can rejoice in suffering. We are thankful this morning that you are with us. We are thankful this morning that we should not fear because we know that you're our God, you're our Savior, that you love us, and help us to live with that at the forefront of our lives. For our friends and families and brothers and sisters in Roseburg this morning, we pray for comfort, we pray for peace, we pray for direction. We pray maybe that this may open some eyes to you and help people understand who you are, and the hope that they can have in you. As we try to be a community that answers out of love, help us to know when the times are to say something and when the times are just to be there. Help us not to say things that that divide, but hopefully to say things that will encourage and that will comfort. Help those of us in our audience this morning who are fearful to understand that you are above all and over all, and that we can have peace in you, a peace that is beyond what we can comprehend. And thank you for your Son. Thank you for the fact that we know one that completely understands what it is to be a sacrifice, and who did that out of his love for us and out of his respect for you, so that we can be with you one day. In his name we pray. Amen. Kind of heavy this morning, and I apologize for that. I don't know how to do anything other than that on a day like this. But if you hear the things that are said today and you think hope and peace are things that I don't have in life and I would like to have them, then we would love to have you become a part of this body. We would love for you to take him on a baptism. We would love for you to go through this life together with us and to rely on each other to get through times like this. If you have things in your life that we can pray about for you, we are happy to do that this morning. And if there's anything you would like to be known, please come as we stand and sing.